Welcome to today's Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American, read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas. This production is also available at recordinglibrary.org and on the telephone reader by calling 432-617-5555.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Odessa American, Saturday, January 4th, 2020. This is Section A. The headline reads, Hunt Retires from ECSO After 30 Years, by Royal McGregor. Alan Hunt said with a laugh that his first day of retirement was a holiday. In fact, the 60-year-old officially began his retirement on New Year's Day, on which the Ector County Sheriff's Office was closed, as it was observed as a national holiday. Hunt spent 30 years at ECSO, and he retired on New Year's Eve as major, which is third in the chain of command at the Sheriff's Office. Hunt said the best part of major was the ability to be in the mix with everything that was going on at ECSO. When there were major crimes going on, I was in it, Hunt said during a phone interview. When we had decisions to make as far as personnel or extra personnel, I got to assist in that. It was a challenge all the way through with everything I did. During his 3 decades at ECSO, Hunt worked in the detention center, patrol, and CID captain. He said the only law enforcement agency he has worked for was ECSO. Hunt said he started in the reserves in 1989 and was eventually brought on full-time in 1991. Hunt was promoted from captain to major on February 18, 2019. He was also named captain in 2014. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths described Hunter as a thinker. Griffiths also said over the phone that no decisions have been made to replace Hunt. When we discussed certain topics or situations, he a lot of times had a different option or outlook, Griffiths said about Hunt. If we were going to take action on something, he always thought what the reaction or result was going to be. I appreciated that about him. He thought things through a lot of time. He didn't make decisions with haste. He thought things out. The reason that Hunt said he retired was due to the ECSO retirement system. Hunt said he would make as much money as a retiree that he would if he was still working. Our retirement was probably one of the best in the state, Hunt said. They match our retirement 2.5 to 1. I'm a numbers guy, and you can go to their website and find out how many years you worked, what your annual income is, and they give you an estimate on what you can make. My retirement would pay me as much as I was working. There really wasn't any sense to work. If I'm going to make so much money staying home, I might as well stay home. Hunt said a couple of months down the road he might not miss working at ECSO as he purchased a lake house in Breckenridge, which is about 2 hours west of Fort Worth, where he plans to fish and relax. Prior to his retirement, Hunt also explained he made a bucket list, which includes experiencing seeing some of the fastest cars compete on the salt flats in Utah. Being that I'm only 2 days into this, I probably am, Hunt said on Friday morning, about if he's going to miss working at ECSO. Every morning I put my clothes on and went to work. Now 2 days into it, I don't. That's kind of weird after doing it for 30 years. 6 months down the road when I'm on a boat, I might be thinking, I don't miss this place at all. This article is entitled ECISD Eyes Neuroscience Cross-Curricular by Ruth Campbell. With training from Backyard Brains Do-It-Yourself Neuroscience under their belts, educators from Ector County ISD are preparing to roll out the course in the 2020-2021 school year. Chief Innovation Officer Jason Osborne said a total of 9 people attended training in Ann Arbor, Michigan, with Backyard Brains, including an English Language Arts Coordinator, Instruction Specialist, an elementary school and middle school teacher. Osborne said that having the secondary ELAR coordinator, Elisha Vega, along proved to be super beneficial because we're very interested in cross-curricular alignment. The English language arts piece, he said, will help students with descriptive writing and any research project they might do so they can share it with others. That's a huge component. Everything you do in science and technology has to be written. It has to be shared. So how do you share your results? And it was beneficial to have this person along. She saw great value in this and is super excited to start incorporating into lessons and then tying into our Texas standards, Osborne said. Instructional specialist Ashley Thomas at Hayes STEAM Academy also will train other instructional specialists, he said. George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa will be rolling out neuroscience in 3 sections next school year. Osborne said neuroscience research and design will be the course description, and it will include a lot of hands-on and backyard brains materials, as well as a university partnership where students will work with real data and do real analysis. Teachers will be able to tie this into the standards that students need to learn, and students can create their own research projects. We plan to create a journal club in this course where kids look at scientific texts and try to direct that text and then have debates in the classroom around the text that they are presenting, with the anticipation of them eventually writing their own descriptive texts, whether in a journal format or scientific poster, Osborne said. He added that bioengineering is offered in the Career and Technology Education Health Sciences Practicum. NTO Principal Gerardo Ramirez said in January and February the high school counselor, Clelia Carrillo, will talk to sophomores and juniors on education. We are ecstatic to offer neuroscience as a science and elective course to our learners, Ramirez said in a text message. We felt it was an innovative course that aligned with our project-based learning design on teaching and learning. It would also assist in preparing learners for college and career fields in medicine and STEM, Ramirez said. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. Bernadette Barragan, an anatomy and physiology teacher at NTO, was one of the teachers that went to Ann Arbor. This past fall semester, we surveyed learners on offering the course and received positive responses and high interest. The collaboration and support with ECISD's PIC Education was essential. It will assist Mrs. Barragan in professional learning and also linking her to collaborative groups at the higher education and medical field levels, he added. Osborne said he hopes other campuses will offer neuroscience too. Through Backyard Brains, we will have ties with the University of Michigan and their partnerships. Also, the University of Minnesota. As a district, we'll have the opportunity to do behavioral neuroscience working with organisms such as cuttlefish. This is super exciting because the students and teachers learn cuttlefish behavior. They will also learn the applications of machine learning, machine vision, and ultimately artificial intelligence while doing neuroscience, Osborne said. Other programs are in the works as well. Osborne said his department is in the process of getting Manu Prakash, a Stanford University researcher who was part of the team that developed the Foldscope, an inexpensive microscope, to present to students. What we would like to do with Foldscope is tie it in with all our current PIC education initiatives, so if you want to look at microsamples and paleontological studies or geological studies, you can. If we're going to look at brain tissue, we can get some of that from Backyard Brains and other partners so kids can set up their own microscope, their own slides, so they do their own sampling. They can look at the images, then they can share those images through a global blog program, which is really fascinating. Here's the ELAR piece coming back in, Osborne said. This is a way to really get kids curious. It sparks that discovery piece that's in all of our brains as humans that we love to do. We like to see, feel, and touch things, and analyze things and discover things. So this gives them the hands-on piece and that ownership piece so that they have something of their own. Then their own data, their own processing of data. So we're super excited about that. So that one's coming up, he added. This is the section called Quick Hits. First, Music Man. Midland Community Theater Costume Shop, 2000 West Wadley Avenue. Midland has scheduled the first Music Man Saturday call from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. today. All women in the show need a bum pad as part of their costumes, and only 5 are available. More will need to be made. Individuals who can cut and sew are needed. Sewing is not required. Volunteers needed. The West Texas Food Bank, 411 South Pagewood Avenue, are in need of volunteers to help kick off the Food to Kids Backpack Program sacking event at 6 p.m. Tuesday. Volunteers will be making the weekend bags passed out to elementary-age children who may not have anything to eat over the weekend. For more information, call the West Texas Food Bank at 432-580-6333. Barbecue Cook-Off. The City of Odessa Parks and Recreation has scheduled the 3rd annual West Texas Barbecue Cook-Off, sanctioned by IBCA, January 31st to February 1st at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. Setup and on-site registration begins at noon on January 31st. Categories: brisket, chicken, and pork spare ribs. Entry fee is $150. Prizes include $5,000 payout, $1,000 grand champion, $900 reserve grand champion, and top 5 cash payout for each category. For more information, call 368-3548 or email bbarker@odessa-tx.gov. Applications to enter can be found online or at the Parks Office, 1100 West 42nd Street. Tommy and the Boys. The Permian Basin Dance Club has scheduled a dance featuring Tommy and the Boys from 7:30 p.m. to 9:45 p.m. Tuesday at the Downtown Lions Club, 200 Plaza Street, Midland. Admission is $8 for members or $10 for guests. Call 631-6125 or email maxking@my-grande.net. This is the section on religion. This article is entitled, Pornography Addiction Can Be Defeated. God's Forgiveness Obtainable Through Faith, Minister Says, by Bob Campbell. Andrews. It took Leslie Lynn Boone a while to decide what he wanted to do in life, but since 1986, when he enrolled at Sunset International Bible Institute in Lubbock, he has served as a minister in Big Spring, Bryan, Hempstead, near Houston, and since 2011 at the Andrews Church of Christ, where in late November he had been preaching on forgiveness, particularly as it related to the addiction to pornography. More and more secular studies show that pornography is not a natural thing, Boone said. It impacts how we look at ourselves and how we look at other people. So it's not something that's okay. It has a negative impact on us and our relationships. But that doesn't mean we have to be stuck there when we get caught up in it. We can get back to where God wants us to be in our relationships and lives. The minister had been teaching from the 1st and 5th chapters of 1 John, which he said, quote, is a nice book reminding us that God forgives. People sometimes wrestle with doubts about forgiveness, but 1 John tells us that God is faithful and forgives, he said. If we're faithful, we have eternal life. He keeps his promises in Christ. Boone is a 57-year-old California native whose dad was an aircraft mechanic who took the family to Illinois, Texas, Oklahoma, Iowa, Louisiana, and back to Texas, where Boone graduated from high school in Vidor on the Gulf Coast. Boone won an appointment to the Air Force Academy, but quickly realized it was wrong for him, then worked as a cable TV technician in Beaumont until going to the SIBI in 1986. He and his wife Beth have 3 children and 2 grandchildren. A lot of times, the addiction to pornography starts with curiosity, he said. The average kid nowadays is exposed to it by age 8. It's a perfect picture of how humanity can take something good and really mess it up, turning sex into something that is not healthy and is actually harmful. Meeting at 201 Northwest 2nd Street at 10:30 a.m. Sundays, Andrew's Church of Christ is attended by an average of 200 people. Cavett Church of Christ Secretary Jennifer Cox of Bryan said Boone is one of those people you can't say no to. Leslie is always in a good mood, Cox said. I never heard him say a negative thing about anybody and never saw him lose his temper in all those 10 years at Cavett. He sees the good in people. He is not a suit and tie person like most ministers. He wears shorts with no shoes. He loves music and has a beautiful voice. When he was studying, he put bagpipe music on. He has a heart for people. He and his wife adopted 2 children. He is one of a kind. Former Andrews Church of Christ youth minister Mark Brewer, now an Andrews Middle School shop teacher, said Boone is easy to talk to and fun to be around. It doesn't matter what's going on with Leslie, Brewer said. He always has time to stop and talk and make you feel like you are the most important person in the room. He is very book smart, but doesn't come across that way. He focuses more on relationships than anything. Everything else just comes along with that. This column is entitled The One Thing, a guest column by Dr. Jimmy Braswell, chaplain, Home Hospice. Most of us remember the movie City Slickers, the story of some city boys going on a cattle drive and discovering from an old cowboy that rediscovering the one thing in their lives most important was what they were really looking for. Seeking the one thing is why we take risks, try to find ourselves on trips, work, and things. It's what we are looking for at Christmas. Like those city slickers, you and I must rediscover the most important things or thing in our lives. We have to be brought to the place where we really don't know anything for sure, to call out with our hearts, and God reminds us of what 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us, that there are 3 things that remain. 1, faith, that we must trust God to humbly face whatever comes our way and be willing to face it with Him. 2, to hope that what our journey and experience in this life is what we were meant to experience, and have stewardship over that what we are doing, facing, and seeking is really of value. And last, 3, to love, to completely devote ourselves to serving and helping others, to seek the peace and comfort for others. Jesus summed them up in the Great Commission. All the law and the prophets are summed up in to love God with all that we are, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. As we begin a new year, rediscover the one thing. This is the obituary column, Saturday, January 4th, 2020. Ivan Roman Salgado. Lubbock, Ivan Roman Salgado, 37, of Odessa, Texas, passed to be with the Lord on Thursday, January 2nd, 2020. Ivan was born on January 15th, 1982, to Emilio Salgado and Graciela Salgado Roman. He is survived by his father, Emilio Salgado, stepmother, Amelia Salgado, wife, Brenda Salgado, his 3 children, his brothers, Domingo and Juan Carlos Bustamante, and by many numerous family. Visitation will be at La Paz Purchase Funeral Homes, Saturday, January 4th, 2020, from 12 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., and Sunday, January 5th, 2020, from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m., and funeral service will follow Monday at St. Joseph's Catholic Church at 10 a.m. with Father Bob Bush, and burial will follow at American Heritage Cemetery at 10 a.m. Howard Sweat, Waco, Texas. Funeral services for Howard Sweat, age 80, of Waco, will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, January 4th, 2020, at Bailey and Foster Chapel, with Pastor Jeff Argyle officiating. Burial will follow in Pilgrim Cemetery, with graveside military honors accorded by the U.S. Air Force. Arrangements have been entrusted to Bailey and Foster Funeral Home. Mr. Sweat passed away Wednesday, January 1st, 2020, at Providence Hospital in Waco. He was born November 23, 1939, in Jacksonville, Florida, to Tenley and Verly Lois Mosley Sweat. Mr. Sweat was preceded in death by his parents. He is survived by his wife Patsy Sweat, daughter Robin Sweat Argyle and husband Jeff, sons Lamar Sweat and wife Mattie, James Sweat and wife Dawn, Douglas Sweat and wife Susan, Kevin Sweat and wife Karen, Gary Sweat and wife Shelley, and Stacy Sweat, sisters Linda Sweat, Gracie Hill, and Lois Laurendine, brothers James Sweat, Perry Sweat, Richard Sweat, and Roger Sweat, 19 grandchildren and 34 great-grandchildren. To view online, leave condolences, or sign the guest book, go to www.baileyandfosterfuneral-home.com. Mary Helen Crenshaw, Fort Worth. Mary Helen Crenshaw passed away on December 27, 2019, in Fort Worth, Texas, with her family by her side. She was 61 years old. Helen was born in Big Spring, Texas, January 23, 1958, raised in Odessa, Texas, where she graduated from Ector High School. Helen is preceded in death by her father, Manuel Hernandez, and brother, Ernest Hernandez. She is survived by her mother, Virginia Hernandez, siblings Dolores, Roy Mewborn, Louis Vicky Hernandez, Albert Mary Hernandez, Rita Lorenza Johnson, Irene George Subia, children Stephen, Suzanne Crenshaw, Damon Addie Crenshaw Jr., and Anthony Crenshaw, 5 grandchildren. She is also survived by several nieces and nephews. The viewing and rosary ceremony will be Monday, January 6, 2020, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Lucas Funeral Home in Hearst, Texas. Services will be on Tuesday, January 7, 2020, beginning at 11 a.m. at St. Maria Goretti Catholic Church in Arlington, Texas. Burial to follow on January 11 in Cahoma, Texas at 2 p.m. Death Notices. Karen Gail Evanson, Odessa. Karen Gail Evanson, 70, of Odessa, died Sunday, December 29, 2019, in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m., Monday, January 6, 2020, at St. Andrew Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Ray Stewart McCorkle, Odessa. Ray Stewart McCorkle, 81, of Odessa, died Thursday, January 2, 2020, in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, January 4, 2020, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Pastor Mike Bartlett is officiating. James Donald Jones, Gardendale. James Donald Jones, 65, died Thursday, January 2, 2020, in Midland. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Odessa American, Monday, January 6, 2020. This is Section A, the front page. This article reads, OCA Teacher Wins Teaching Excellence Award, by Ruth Campbell. An Odessa Collegiate Academy AVID coordinator and teacher recently won a National Society for Leadership and Success Award for Excellence in Teaching. Elizabeth Gray was honored along with Chet Cooper, OC Anatomy and Physiology Associate Professor 2. Honorary membership are Mikkel Lemons, Odessa Professor of Agriculture, Mauro Blessed Matai, Odessa College Law Enforcement Training Academy Coordinator, and Eric Baker, Odessa College Department Chair of Visual and Performing Arts, and Debbie Lieb, Ector County ISD Community Engagement Specialist. Winning for excellence in service to students were Katie Nisbet, Odessa College Interim Dean of the School of Liberal Arts and Education, and Celine Watts, OC Mobile Fab Lab Coordinator. Gray said it was exciting to win the award, and she had to be nominated. Ms. Gray is well deserving of this award, Principal James Ramage said. He added that she is a fantastic teacher, devoted to the students, who looks out for their best interests all the time. It couldn't happen to a better person, Ramage said. This is Gray's 7th year with ECISD. Her first 3 years were at Hayes STEAM Academy, and the last 4 have been with OCA, which was formerly known as Falcon Early College High School. The school moved from the campus at University of Texas Permian Basin to Odessa College in 2018. Everything's great, Gray said. We feel more established this year for sure than we did last year. The kids are getting more involved with Odessa College societies, student groups, and all that. One of the things she enjoys about being at the early college high school is its small student body. We can be more of a family, and I thoroughly enjoy, now that we're at Odessa College, watching the kids be able to graduate with their associates before their high school degree. It's pretty exciting, Gray said. Recently, she had 31 of 66 seniors already accepted to college. I even had kids messaging me over Thanksgiving telling me they got accepted, Gray said. A Permian High School graduate, Gray graduated from Texas Women's University in Denton with a bachelor's degree in history. She earned a master's in professional education from UTPB. She is starting a second bachelor's in mechanical engineering. Currently at OC, Gray plans to transfer back to UTPB in the fall of next year. Eventually, she would like to switch careers. The second bachelor's is taking a while because I'm only doing one class at a time. I have to pay cash for it, so it will be like 4 or 5 years from now. I want to work on planes or rocket ships or something, Gray said. Maybe NASA one day. I don't know. Winning the National Society for Leadership and Success Award makes Gray want to work harder. I want to prove that I've earned that recognition and that honor, Gray said. She said being an excellent teacher boils down to the relationships you have with the students, making them feel welcomed in your class, and they know that they can come to you for help, and just always being there to advocate for them. Gray said she was inspired to become a teacher by Martha Overby. She's still a teacher here in ECISD. I had her in 3rd and 5th grade, and that's how she made me feel, like she was an excellent teacher, and I wanted to be that somebody for students, Gray said. This column is entitled, January Can Be Alcohol Free. This is a guest column by Carol Cates. Carol Cates is the chief nursing officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center. You can reach her via email at carol.cates@steward.org. One of the newest health trends is dry January. Dry January is when a person makes the decision to make the entire month of January alcohol-free. Dry January started as a public awareness campaign in the United Kingdom 4 years ago by a charity called Alcohol Change. The idea is a month of being alcohol-free is a good way to reset a person's relationship with alcohol. Over 2 million people now participate in Dry January in the UK, and it is a quickly growing trend here in the US. An estimated 1 in 5 Americans participate in Dry January as well. If you have heard about Dry January and are already taking the month off, or you are considering taking the next month as your Dry January, here are some things to consider. One of the downsides of trying a Dry January is that for some people, cutting alcohol cold turkey can be dangerous. The risk is related to how much people drink prior to their Dry January. Heavy and even moderate drinkers can experience alcohol withdrawal. Alcohol withdrawal can cause severe health issues, even death, if it is not treated appropriately under the supervision of healthcare professionals. People who are considering or participating in Dry January need to remember that Dry January isn't treatment for an alcohol use disorder. A self-assessment tool that experts ask you to consider to determine if Dry January is right for you is the CAGE self-assessment tool. C equals unsuccessful cut-down attempts in the past. A. Annoyed. Do you feel annoyed by others commenting about your drinking? G. Guilt after drinking. and E, eye opener. Do you need a drink in the morning or notice other physical dependence? If you answer yes to any of these questions, speak to a healthcare provider before participating in Dry January. For those without an alcohol use disorder, Dry January has been shown to provide several benefits. The first benefit people see is better sleep. The National Sleep Foundation states that alcohol affects how quickly adenosine rises and then leaves your blood system, making rise quickly so you nod off, but then dissipate quickly so people tend to wake up in the middle of the night and wake up groggy. Alcohol also decreases the amount of REM sleep, so sleep is less restorative. Alcohol Change states that 70% of participants cite better sleep and 66% cite more energy. The next benefit is a drop on the scale. Alcohol-laden drinks tend to be heavy in calories, and those calories are liquid calories, so they are not as filling as food calories. In addition, alcohol affects willpower, so people tend to eat more and make less healthy choices when they are drinking. Benefit number three is financial. Alcohol Change states that 86% of Dry January participants saw a financial benefit with eliminating alcohol. Your skin may improve. Alcohol is a diuretic. That means it makes your kidneys take more water out of your system in the form of urine. That can result in dry, lusterless skin. In addition, alcohol can increase hormones like estrogen and cortisol, and it can spike blood sugar, especially when it is a part of a sugary drink. That combination can lead to increased breakouts. Alcohol can suppress the body's immune system. Studies have shown that 2 to 5 hours after drinking, levels of disease-fighting cells decrease. During cold and flu outbreak, like we are seeing now, a depressed immune system is not a good thing. Alcohol Change states 65% of their participants cite general improved health with Dry January. Lastly, a month without alcohol tends to decrease consumption year-round. 72% of Dry January participants are less likely to drink to intoxication or binge drink 6 months after participating in Dry January. If you are not sure Dry January is right for you, but you do want to reduce your alcohol intake, a mindful drinking compromise is Dryish January. Drink cocktails that contain less alcohol than your usual cocktail, or drinking smaller, a single versus a double, fewer cocktails, or adding in mocktails on some outings. As with most things, small changes in habits can over time make big impacts on your overall health. Have a safe, happy, and healthy New Year. This is a section called Quick Hits. Volunteers needed. The West Texas Food Bank, 411 South Pagewood Avenue, is in need of volunteers to kick off the Food to Kids Backpack Program sacking event at 6 p.m. Tuesday. Volunteers will make the weekend bags and pass them out to elementary-aged children who may not have anything to eat over the weekend. For more information, call the West Texas Food Bank at 432-580-6333 or on the internet wtxfoodbank.org. Cast your vote. Crisis Center of West Texas has scheduled its 6th annual Dancing with West Texas Stars fundraiser on February 8th. 12 West Texas Stars have paired with their talent partners to dance the night away and raise funds to end sexual assault and domestic violence in West Texas. Individual donations and ticket purchases may cast their votes now for their favorite dance team to help them get closer to the grand prize, the Mirror Ball Trophy. The team with the most votes by noon on February 7th wins. Go online for star bios, information, tickets, or to donate. On the internet, ccwtx.org/DWWTS. Soundbites and Performance. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale has scheduled a Soundbites Dinner and From East to West Performance in the Ray Great House at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market Road, 1788, Midland. Dinner starts at 6 p.m. and concert at 7 p.m. Dinner includes sides, dessert, and beverages. A cash bar is available inside the dining room. Dinner tickets are $26 each, available on a first-come, first-served basis. Concert tickets start at $10, and students are free. For concert tickets, call 800-514-3849. On the net, mosc.org. This article is from Staff Reports. This is the obituary column, Monday, January 6th, 2020. Linda Sue McEnroe Taylor. Early, Linda Sue McEnroe Taylor, 78, of Huckabee, died Thursday, January 22nd, 2020, in Early, Texas. Funeral services will be held at 2 p.m. Sunday, January 5th at Stephenville Funeral Home Chapel, with Gary Williams officiating. Burial will follow at X-Ray Cemetery. Visitation will be 6 to 8 p.m. Saturday at Stephenville Funeral Home. Linda was born on December 17, 1941, in Stephenville, to the late Maynard Jack and Grace Lucille Alexander McEnroe. She married James Little in 1958. Survivors include her daughters, Victoria K. Shockley of DeLeon, Patricia Ann and husband Mike Fitzgerald of Odessa, Mary Catherine and husband Mark Lucky of Ranger, and Yolanda Darlene and husband Jimmy Lee of Odessa. Grandchildren Lisa Jackson, Wendy Flynn, Jennifer Heath, Rocky Wells, Mandy Harrington, Lance Wells, Mark Lucky, Alan Lucky, Cassie Lucky, Amber Zulaga, Bryson Vossler, and Braden Lee. Several great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren and a sister, Edia Lou Gardner. Besides her parents, Linda was also preceded in death by husbands Randy Walker and Winston B. Taylor, son James Wesley Little Jr., brother and sister-in-law Jerry and Melba McEnroe, and a sister and brother-in-law, Wanda and son Fulfer. Death notices. Tonette Lorraine Tony Linder. Tonette Lorraine Tony Linder, 64, of Odessa, died Friday, January 3, 2020, in Odessa. Services are scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Fernando Munoz. Fernando Munoz, 25, died Sunday, January 5, 2020, in Midland. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Beverly Mae Haskins Nyborg. Odessa. Beverly Mae Haskins Nyborg, 77, of Odessa, died Friday, January 3, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m., January 7, 2020, at American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland. This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Odessa American, Saturday, January 24, 2020. This is Section B, the section called Etc. This is a column called To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dr. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write to him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. This column is entitled Watchmen. Dr. Roach writes, a recent column on the side effects of anticoagulation, easy bruising and tearing of skin, had many readers asking about the left atrial appendage closure device, Watchman. This device has been placed over 90,000 times, according to its manufacturer, and the goal is to prevent clots from forming in the first place. Watchman does not treat the underlying abnormal heart rhythm, but does reduce the risk of stroke. I re-reviewed the safety and efficacy data for the Watchman device and find that it remains a reasonable option for people with atrial fibrillation and without a heart valve problem who are unable or unwilling to take anticoagulation. It is true that blood clots may still occur with the Watchman device, and that there are occasional complications with the device, such as pericardial effusion, fluid around the heart. However, overall, it has similar efficacy and safety as anticoagulation. The data suggest that as physicians gain more experience with the device, the rates of adverse events are going down. Finally, patients using the Watchman device report a better quality of life than those using warfarin.
Wellness trends for 2020 to live by. Levi Stone, Chief Nursing Officer. Transitioning into a new year lends a period of self-reflection, evaluating prior year's goals of either being reached, missed, or put aside altogether. Whether it's setting new goals or adjusting old ones, the benchmarks we often set for ourselves are health and wellness related. Unfortunately, much of the preparation in setting such goals is based on unrealistic expectations, set to even more improbable timelines to accomplish. In this got-to-have-it-now and immediate results world we live in, the majority of people's health and wellness plans die well before the first sight of St. Valentine's Day candles hit store shelves. With the new year comes a laundry list of fresh wellness trends as well. While most are complete marketing ploys to part ways with your hard-earned money, some are actually worth jumping onto. Determining what is hip, which to skip, or give it a rip can be tricky and even downright confusing. Using the power of research and a bit of skepticism, let's cite five of the 2020 wellness trends in helping guide you toward finally crushing your health and wellness goals. Wellness trend number one, plant-based diets. Going plant-based can yield significant benefits to overall health, particularly in the managing diabetes and lowering the risk of type 2 diabetes. While the definition of plant-based can vary between others, the mindset is sticking to a diet that is all or mostly consisting of foods derived from plants, such as vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds, and legumes. However, just because a certain type of food is plant-based doesn't mean it's a healthy alternative. Take, for instance, Burger King's Impossible Whopper. At 630 calories, 34 grams of fat, 58 grams of carbohydrates, and whopping 1,080 of sodium, pun intended, this fare is nothing more than plant-based junk food. The best way to maximize the benefits of plant-based diets is by sticking to whole foods that haven't been overly processed to the point of being unrecognizable. Wellness trend number two, high-intensity interval training, HIIT. HIIT workouts have emerged as a very popular choice over the past few years, and it's showing no signs of slowing down into 2020 and beyond. By incorporating periods of intense cardio exercise with shorter resting periods, it improves overall body conditioning and glucose metabolism. Adding strength-specific movements into your HIIT sessions yields even greater benefits by increasing core and muscular development. The great thing about HIIT programs is it takes only 30 minutes to 1 hour a day to complete. Workouts involve multiple movements, targeting the entire body, and are different from one day to the next. This helps eliminate the boredom some experience with traditional gyms or exercise routines. Bottom line, forego the cheap $10 a month membership type gyms and splurge on a gym that offers certified staff who actually work with you to execute movements properly, safely, and within your activity lev. Wellness trend number three, telemedicine. We use apps on our phones for so many things, food delivery, ride sharing, and even managing utilities remotely from our homes. Why not use this convenience to manage your health as well? In our busy world, time is a valuable commodity. Scheduling doctor appointments, reading old magazines in the waiting area before finally seeing your provider, and taking the time to drive back and forth may be a thing of the past. Telemedicine provides a way to use our modern technology in seeing a primary care provider and to proactively manage your health. Patients, especially men, often let barriers such as embarrassment and inconvenience keep them from seeing a physician. Telemedicine helps eliminate these issues by providing consultation, evaluations, and even prescribing treatments from the comfort of the patient's home. Word to the wise, though, prior to using a telemedicine program, check first with your insurance provider to make sure it's covered under your policy. Wellness trend number 4, digital detoxification. Unplug and unwind are words to live by, yet we struggle to put our phones away and dedicate time to ourselves, friends, and loved ones. Our current digital world is creating an introversion movement in which people are inept to carry out face-to-face social interaction. Set one of your 2020 goals to reduce time spent on smartphones and other digital devices that otherwise are keeping your bum on the couch or bed, rather than getting outside, exercising, or nurturing relationships with those that really matter. Wellness trend number 5, mocktails over cocktails. Data from the Texas Comptroller's Office confirmed Odessans and Midlanders love their alcoholic beverages. In fact, beer, wine, and liquor sales increased by more than $8 million from the prior year. Alcohol sales were around $125 million overall between the two cities, suggesting consumption exceeds far beyond the 1 to 2 drinks per day practices often cited by organizations such as the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Aside from damaging the liver, alcohol abuse increasing one's risk of developing high blood pressure, stroke, and heart disease. Judging by the weekly alcohol sales reports from local media outlets, it's time for many West Texans to swap cocktails for mocktails. Usher in not only a new year, but a new decade by making your health and wellness goals set to living life to its fullest. Obituaries and death notices from the Odessa American for Sunday, January 5th. Mildred Pauline Ben Dancer, age 89, passed away Monday, December 30th in Odessa. Mildred was born September 25th, 1930, in Sassauquah, Oklahoma, to Nellie Lewis Ben and Arthur Ben. Mildred was preceded in death by her parents, brothers Otis, Harold, and Arthur, sisters Opal, Ruby Mae Allen, and Ruby Lee Hovis, husband Benjamin Dancer, and son Woodrow Dancer. She is survived by one brother, Reverend Floyd Ben, and wife Suzette, of OKC, Oklahoma, daughter-in-law Linda Dancer of Moore, Oklahoma, 3 grandchildren, 15 great-grandchildren, 5 great-great-grandchildren, and numerous nieces, nephews, cousins, and friends. Visitation 5 to 9 p.m. Wednesday, January 8th, at Frank Wilson Funeral Home in Odessa. Services Thursday, January 9th at 10 a.m. at Grandview Church of God in Odessa, officiated by Jeff Russell, Reverend Floyd Ben, and Pastor Rappel Aguirre, Jr. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the Grandview Church of God or Meals on Wheels. Joy Liddell Moore Nolan, 84, of Odessa, passed away Sunday, December 29th in Odessa. She was born on June 28, 1935, in Leveland to Elvis and Jewel Moore. She is preceded in death by parents and brother Bobby Moore. She is survived by her husband Leon Nolan and son Larry Nolan, also one nephew and family of Phoenix, Arizona, and Tom Moore and family of Prosper, one niece, sisters-in-law Patsy Parmley of Tucson, Arizona, Peggy Elder of Lubbock, Texas, 3 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild. She and Leon decided some time ago when their lives ended, they wanted to be cremated with no services. Services are entrusted to Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory. On Saturday, December 21st, Elizabeth Liz Midgley passed away peacefully at the age of 93 When Liz left this world, she was surrounded by family, which is how she lived. Liz was born November 10, 1926, in Wolf City, Texas. The eldest of eight children to Henry Lon Tettleton and Stacy Dowdett Tettleton. She married Charles Henry Midgley III on June 29, 1951, in Nakona. They were married for 39 years until his passing on December 12, 1990. Liz is survived by her children, Marta Johnson, and husband Chris, Charles Henry, Charlie, Midgley IV, Amy Middis, and husband Steve, five grandchildren, two great-grandsons, sisters Wanda Brown and husband Joe of Lovington, New Mexico, Virginia Kinsey of Covina, California, and Ann Pollage and husband Roy of Spring Branch, Texas. She was predeceased by her husband, parents, stepmother Lurleen Tettleton, sisters Joyce Cole and Louise Robinson, brothers Edward Tettleton and Billy Tettleton. A celebration of life will be held at 2 p.m. at First United Methodist Church on Wednesday, January 8th. Any donation may be made to the Aphasia Center of West Texas or the Ellen Newell Art Museum. Jesus Tavares entered our God's kingdom on Thursday, January 2nd, at his residence. He was born February 22, 1929, in Presidio to his loving parents, the late Juanita Garcia and Luis Tavares, and was reunited with them and grandson Stephen John this past Thursday. He married Margarita Magallez in Marfa on July 5, 1952. They have four children, Eli, Rudy, and Raul Tavares, and Juanita Tavares Lancaster. Jesus leaves behind 11 grandchildren and 13 great-grandkids and growing. Visitation will be Wednesday, January 8th from 1 to 9 p.m., with a rosary being recited at 7 p.m. at Frank Wilson Funeral Directors. A mass of Christian burial will be celebrated on Thursday, January 9th at 2 p.m. at St. Joseph Catholic Church. Interment will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Please visit frankwilson.com to leave online condolences. Christopher Ross Walker, age 34, of Odessa, passed from this life on Wednesday, January 1st. He was born in Rankin on Thursday, September 12, 1985, to Becky Perry and Ross Walker. Those left to cherish his love and memories are his beloved wife, Megan Walker, sons Cohen, Colton, Jordan, and Dak Walker, parents Ross Walker and wife Rebecca, and Becky Wilson and husband Donnie, paternal grandmother-in-law Alicia Lowe, paternal grandfather-in-law Cruz Lowe, paternal grandmother Billy Joe Walker, maternal grandmother Peggy Perry, brothers Daniel Lowe, Clayton Walker, and Colby Walker, sisters Rayleigh Wilson and Nicole Walker, as well as numerous nieces, nephews, and cousins. He was preceded in death by his maternal grandfather, Jack Perry, and paternal grandfather, Joe Walker. Public visitation was held Saturday, January 4th, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, January 6th, at Odessa Bible Church, officiated by Pastor Bob Thayer. Burial will follow at the Odessa 2 section of Ector County Cemetery. Condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Gladine Lily Childers Seago passed away December 29th, born to John Nelson Childers and Anna Parsons Childers in Thurber, Texas, January 7, 1921. She married Edward Hugh Seago July 15, 1939. She is survived by her children, Yancey Seago Pittman of Oak Ridge, Tennessee, Edward Nelson Seago of Cape Town, RSA, and William Wesley Seago of Houston, two granddaughters, two great-grandchildren, and two nieces and six nephews. Visitation will be Friday, January 10th from 6 to 8 p.m., with a memorial service on Saturday, January 11th at 10 a.m., both at Ellis Funeral Home, Midland, with graveside burial to follow. William Bill Ralph Robertson, DVM, was born to Ralph Waldo Robertson and Ruby Lee Anderson on April 4, 1937, in San Antonio. Bill and wife Mary had four beautiful children, Kirk, Lisa, Becky, and Bill Jr. Dr. Bill's legacy continues with his seven grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren. In lieu of flowers, consider donating to the following: Ector County Livestock Association, Post Office Box 1972, Odessa, Texas 79760. LOPE, Lone Star Outreach to Place and Adopt Former Race Horses, lopetx.org. Humane Society Odessa, odessahumanesociety.org. Trinity Baptist Church, 1222 South Jackson, Odessa. Family visitation Saturday and Sunday, January 4th and 5th, at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home in Odessa. Burial Rock Springs Cemetery, Rock Springs, Texas, Monday, January 6th at 3 p.m. Celebration of Life to be held February 1st at Barn Door South 40 Event Center from 2 to 5 p.m. Benjamin Almadova, 60, of Alpine, died Friday, January 3rd in Midland. Memorial service will be held at 3 p.m. January 6th at American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland. Ron Brewer is officiating. Rufus David Harwell, 86, of Odessa, died Friday, January 3rd in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. January 6th. Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel. Reverend Larry Hood is officiating. James Donald Jones, 65, of Gardendale, died Thursday, January 2nd in Midland. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. January 7th, First Assembly of God. Reverend Todd Starnes is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
That's all for today's Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American, a production of the Recording Library of West Texas. You can also hear this program anytime online at recordinglibrary.org or by calling the telephone reader at 432-617-5555.